Hello, lovelies. This is Jennifer Hall, and I am very excited to welcome you to the very first episode of my new podcast, Lessons from the Universe. You can view this podcast as a guide to your awakening or just a place to find some information about the universe, our place in it, and what all of that means. When I was thinking about what to discuss today, I thought we should start at the very beginning. What is life? What does it mean? What is the point? And what are the various levels on which different people are actually even capable of understanding it? Because it's not the same for all of us. We didn't all come here for the same thing. We didn't all come here to learn the same things, to discover the same things. Some people came for a very simple purpose. They're here to be a mother or a grandfather. They're here to overcome one specific event or type of thinking. Others of us are here for more. We're here to awaken. We're here to have a deep realization of who we are, what this place is, what the point is. There are various levels on which to understand this, of course. When I was young, very young, maybe 14-ish, I remember there being this big thing where all the kids at school were talking about, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? No one can possibly know the meaning of life. And I guess looking backwards, maybe that's the first time I really channeled real truth. I remember hearing, thinking, understanding that the meaning of life was to be happy, and that if we are not happy, we have to change something. It took me years to assimilate that idea, and since then it's grown to a deeper, richer understanding. But for some people, maybe even some of you listening today, this is as far as you can get for now. The meaning of life is to be happy, and if you are not happy, change something. Change your job, change your partner, change your clothes, change your diet, change whatever it takes for you to feel good in your body, in your life. We should do what feels right for us. And as long as there's no intention in there of hurting other people, we're doing the right thing, even if it does happen to hurt someone. As I learned more and got deeper into understanding, I started to think of life not just as a place to figure out how to be happy, but as a game. And at some point in time, I read a book, something called The Game of Life and How to Play It. I can't say I read every word in that book, but I do remember that it confirmed for me this idea that had been rolling around in my head, that life is a game, that we're something bigger than this, that we're spirit, and that we're wearing a costume, this flesh suit, and that the whole point of being here is to wake up to the truth of who we are, to realize through this flesh sickness, that we are something more, and that everything that happens is just a different level in the game, that we have to go up level by level, get more and more understanding, and, you know, like Donkey Kong, we end up at the top with the princess. Some people can't get much farther than that. That's okay. It makes sense. It can still work. But there is something deeper. This life is not just about being happy. It is not just about mastering the game of discovering who we are through this suit. This life is about education. What I have discovered in years of this work and study and pursuit of awakening is that life is a lot like college for your spirit. This is the place we come to learn and grow. And we all study different things. To use a real-world analogy, we may be studying to be a preschool teacher, such a noble and humble cause. We might be studying to be a world-famous physicist. Just because one seems to take more work, just because one seems more cerebral in some way, that's irrelevant. They are equal and value. They are equal. We have to get this, because when we realize that each person's path is equal, we quit judging them so much. And the removal of judgment is key to us being humble. Now, the idea of humility sometimes makes people crazy, because we have this weird biblical sense of what that means. What it means is teachable. If I am humble, I am teachable. I know who I am, why I am strong, why I am powerful, why I am special, but I also know I am teachable by anyone I may encounter, by any experience. That's the point. This is college for your spirit, and your curriculum is designed for you by you. It is not some predestination. That's not really a thing. What it is a carefully chosen environment from the clarity of spirit, aware of what it is that we wanted to learn, how far along the continuum of awakening we wanted to get in this lifetime. We chose our parents, and we approved of our bodies. And if we're here, it is because we chose to be. And we chose that from a careful consideration, a knowledge of the things we were likely to experience with those people in our family, in that environment, in that moment in time. We chose it, and we signed up for this. Everything from that point on comes down to our choices, to our ability to learn. We have to realize that everything, good, bad, or indifferent, is here for our education. Every encounter, every irritation, every thought is an opportunity for us to solve a puzzle, to grow, and to learn. We are taking classes. And if we look at it that way, there's nothing to fear. The moment you take in anything, particularly if it happens to irritate you or make you defensive, this is the exact moment where we have to let go of who caused that feeling and recognize that that feeling is our body telling us the most important thing, that this is a moment to grow. And so we have to pause and ask ourselves, what do I learn and how do I grow? That comes first. No matter what is happening, no matter who is wrong, no matter how wrong they are, we pause. We recognize that this is for us. And if we train ourselves to immediately react with, thank you, universe, for this opportunity to learn and grow. What do I learn and how do I grow? If we take that in as our number one priority, we will become who we are. And in the case that that situation is something we have to address with other individuals, we will do that from a place of power. One, a sense of power from within, because we have done what we are supposed to do with this situation, with this moment in time, with this experience. And two, there's an energetic thing that happens when the person we're addressing knows that we have been humble, that we have learned, that we have grown, that we have looked at ourselves first. So many people can't do that. And these are the people you can't hear. And when we are that people, we can't be hurt either. If you want your partner, your boss, your child, your friend, whoever it is, your mother, your father, if you want them to hear you, you have to do your work first. It might be small. And there's a good chance it's not even what the person is attempting to make you think that it is. But if it irritates you, if it causes a reaction within, there's something for you to learn. Go there first. Step one. The very first step is understanding that you are bigger than this body. You are bigger than this life, than this experience, and that everyone is doing the best that he or she can, and that that's not your concern anyway. It's actually none of your business how well anybody else is passing their classes, even your own children. Yes, we may be the matriarch or the patriarch. Yes, it is our job to guide them and give them information, but ultimately we can't impose values on anyone unless we do it through reward and punishment. And that's temporary. And so what we are meant to do is the best we can, when we can, all the time, with the understanding that if somehow, some way that fails, if somehow, some way that is misunderstood, if it hurts someone, that is part of their curriculum and that is their business. To be free, we really only have to realize one thing, and that is that our only real job is to do what is right for us. To understand that we are the master of our own change, of our own freedom, our freedom from anxiety and doubt and insecurity. And it comes from the single realization that we are here to learn and grow and change, and that that is the whole point. It's the whole point to learn, to grow, to change, to evolve, and that the only person who has to see we're doing it is us. We don't need to be understood. It is not necessary for someone to understand us. It is not necessary for people to see how we have changed. If they are attached to who we were, that's on them. And it shows that they have somewhere to go. And we can smile at that and appreciate their path the same way we would watch a child learn to walk. Sometimes they fall. Sometimes we help them up. Other times they get up on their own. It's not our business, because the paths are equal in value. And if their path is short and our path is long, if they are studying to do some job that you may deem as less valuable, and you're studying something that seems way at the top of the social spectrum, to be a doctor or whoever it is that you see as powerful, maybe their curriculum seems easier to you. Maybe it seems like it doesn't take as much time or it isn't as important. But in their world, in their self, in their purpose, it is. And so if they're at 80% in theirs and you're at 80% in yours, you're tied. Own that. Because when non-judgment comes into play, you don't judge yourself either. I do understand that this can be most difficult when we start talking about religious views. So many reactions to dogma, to semantics. Oh, so many semantics. I've studied pretty much every religion, and when it comes down to it, whether they're facts or not, whether the words are different or not, every story, every message comes down to one basic thing, and that is a metaphor for your awakening. And every religion, every spiritual path, exists on a continuum of truth, a diagonal line from the bottom moving upwards towards as close as we can get while we're within this body. Every religion is along that line somewhere, and each is designed to get an individual as close to the truth as they are capable of. Some cannot get far. Some need to hold tight to strict rules, to strict facts, to things that others of you may feel totally repelled by. Don't feel repelled. This is ego, and it gets in the way. Understand that they are as close to the truth as they are capable of getting right now, and that it is not your job to enlighten them. Smile your knowledgeable, all-knowing smile. Hold your truth. Speak a language that they can understand, or none at all. Do not bring fear to them. Do not shake the trees of the faith that makes them strong, even if you don't understand it. That's not your job, unless they ask you. If they ask you, ask them if they really want to know. And if they say yes, tell them the truth. And if you dare to be one of the ones who asks somebody else, be open. Don't ask them with the intention of shooting them down. If it doesn't resonate with your soul, don't take it in. But understand that everything has layers like an onion. Some people get the surface, and some people go infinite layers deeper. We don't judge. That doesn't help. We focus on ourselves. What do I learn? How do I grow? How do I find a way to be grateful for this lesson, for the seed that grew the beautiful flower? Ultimately, the worst experiences, all experiences, they plant seeds, and the seeds grow. And it's up to us how we nurture them. We can pull the weeds. We can remove the thoughts and beliefs of people that they have handed us that have made us less, the fears and the bullshit. And we can nurture the beautiful, fragrant flowers that help us grow into our happiness, that help us get to the top level of the game, that help us learn everything we came here to learn. You know, I do have one client who asks me regularly if he is there yet. He's not there yet. You're not there yet. I'm not there yet. There is no there because it's infinite. And if we were there, we wouldn't be here. And yet here we are on this earth, in this body. We should marvel at that. How incredibly amazing that is. And that at the base of it all, we are the same. We break down to the teeniest, tiniest thing. You and me, this desk where I sit, the pen in my hand, everything you see, when we break it down to the tiniest thing, is identical. And so, it's all equal in value. Every lesson is equal in value. Good, bad, or indifferent is a human construct, and it's not real. It's funny what happens when you start to think of life that way. That this is not bad. That this is education. And that it wouldn't be this aggressive if it wasn't either that important, or I didn't have so many chances in the past to get it right and I didn't listen. Because the truth is, the universe does whisper in our ears. It tries to tell us softly and gently, and then it gets louder and louder and louder. And eventually, if we don't listen, we start getting bricks to the head. It's not out of punishment, it's out of love. The universe says, this is what you came for. Learn and grow. And let's be clear, there are no martyrs. Martyrs are failures. Don't tell me or anyone else it is my lot in life, because it keeps happening again and again and again, and I'm gonna just keep dealing with this bad thing again and again and again. If that is your truth, that is your lesson. Not to give in, not to be some sad sap who says, I'll never find love, or I'll always be mistreated, or I'll just be sick forever. None of that shit is real. Those things that happen again and again are the lesson that you must face. It is the class that you're going to take again and again until you pass. And so you must ask yourself, what do I learn and how do I grow? And if you want to be happy, you have to change something. Change the way you eat. Work on the way you think. Change your job. Leave the asshole. Do what you need to do to grow and be different. Find a teacher, read a book, say a prayer, make the change you're afraid to make, because fear and excitement feel the same. Fear and excitement feel the same. Anxiety and anticipation feel the same. So rename it. Grab the bull by the horns and change. It is simple. I can hear some of you saying in your minds, it's just not that simple. It is. And we'll talk more about strategies in future episodes. But the truth is, you do have the power. The ability to say, I will and I won't. To have that thought, that crippling thing come up into your mind and say, I could, but I won't. If you can't choose what you will, then for now choose what you won't. If you can't think good thoughts, then focus on affirmations. Say the same thing again and again all day and all night. I did that for months and months when I was younger. In fact, at one point in time, my brain was so full of fear and doubt that I literally counted to 100 over and over and over. I counted my steps. I counted my fingers. I counted until I thought maybe I was losing it. And then I switched to affirmations. You can learn to have control, or at least to provide really excellent guidance for your mind. This is a skill, a habit you develop, much like good posture. And it starts with asking yourself, what do I learn? How do I grow? And what in the world am I thinking about? We let our thoughts run rogue. They don't need to run rogue. We can guide them, and we should. That's one of the ways to play the game, right? It's a skill. Or, I don't know, I always think about Donkey Kong, right? He needs to have the things to throw. Or I guess the guy needs to know how to jump, right? We have skills. We learn them. And it often just starts with awareness that I do have the ability. A lot of times, clients come in, and the first level for them, even though I've taught them very specific skills, is just to assimilate the truth that they have more power than they realized. And then I see them the second time and they say, now I'm ready because I believe it's possible. If all you get today is the belief that it is possible to completely change, that you have the power, that this life is yours to grow, to educate, to graduate class after class, to move on, to pass the test so you don't have to take the class again, do that fearlessly. I remember at one point realizing, I don't want to do this same thing anymore. And so I started facing the tests fearlessly and making change. I literally looked in the mirror and said, I promise you that I will not allow you to continue to do the same things that cause you pain, fear, anxiety, sickness, I promise you. And I don't remember who told me, but somebody told me that if you break a promise to yourself, you will never trust anyone else. And so that promise was sacred. And it was the beginning of everything that changed my life for the better. Promise you that you're going to graduate, that you're going to pass the classes. As you focus there, sometimes you get to get the extra credit. You don't have to take the final exam. You don't have to take the big test. You get little ones. And you grow more quickly. And you awaken. And life is easier. You begin to flow up high, way above the rocks and rapids. It's better. There is the sacred responsibility to notice the little things that guide you and teach you. That's the way to avoid the big things. So affirmations are really helpful. They are kind of like prayers, but they're short and they're sweet, and you use them when you want to, or you write them on a sticky note and you stick them on your dashboard. I have a few written down for you today. Take them in. Take them in as I say them, or repeat them as I say them. These help. One of the most powerful is this. I release all unnecessary fears. I release all unnecessary fears. Unnecessary is the key. There is something in our humanness that makes us believe we need some fears for protection. Or as my son says, I like being cautious. He likes being cautious. Don't we all? So when we release unnecessary fears, we know in our humanness that we're not signing ourselves up to be lunatics, that we're not going to walk out into traffic. And it taps down into deep, dark things that we try to ignore. I release all unnecessary fears. The next one is one of my favorites. It has changed my life for sure. I attract only the right people into my world. I attract only the right people into my world. I talk to people all the time who have been trying to attract love, and they're just saying, send me a man, send me a partner, send me a wife, send me a friend. And they just get whoever. The universe is very literal. I have a lot of people who have jobs that they need clients for, or customers. And when I meet them, they will have been focused on send me clients, send me customers. And they get every crackpot in town. They get lots, but they're not the right ones. I attract only the right people into my world. The phone rings less, but everyone's a good match. And when you believe that you attract only the right people, the occasional person that's the source of a lesson, a test, or extra credit comes to you in your deep awareness that you're going to pass this one so that the cycle will stop. I need you to remember who you are. Another affirmation. I am more than this body. I am more than this world. I am a traveler, a student, and a teacher. Again, I am more than this body. I am more than this world. I am a traveler, a student, and a teacher. We are here to learn and grow and make decisions. We are here to do everything that we need to do to move ourselves along our path to awakening. If that happens to inspire others, fantastic. If it happens to hurt them, understand this. The universe is using you to help write the curriculum of someone else. That's important. Because ultimately, that is the big soul agreement we make to get here. We agree. I will come to the earth where I will be blinded by my flesh, confused about who I am. I sign up to have people hurt me, and I will hurt others, and this is all so that we can all grow. I am more than this body. I am more than this world. I am a traveler, a student, and a teacher. I embrace change. I anticipate my growth, and I evolve with ease. I evolve with ease. Please don't ever tell the universe, bring it on. I did that when I was younger. It was messy. We don't want to bring it on. We want grace and ease. We want it to evolve naturally as it should, as quickly as possible, but without complete disruption, because we are here for both things, the human and the spiritual, not just one or the other. They are both equal in value for every moment that we are here. And so we must value both. Even the simple things, like TV and mascara. We're here for both. Finally, I choose to awaken with grace and ease. And I have no fear because I know the truth. The truth that fear and excitement feel the same. That anxiety and anticipation feel the same. And that this feeling is hope. That this feeling is excitement, anticipation, adventure. That there is nothing to fear because I am the master of my mind. I am the master, the principal, the teacher, the guide on my own path. Each of you are a teacher, a prophet, a guide, some little brunette with a podcast can help you along your path, but ultimately it's yours. No one else can do it for you. So give in. Give in. Ask yourself, what do I learn? How do I grow? And before you know it, you'll be to the next level. And you'll look back and say, who was that girl? Who was that grumpy old man stuck in their old beliefs, their old fears? And you'll look around and you'll see everybody else is on their own path, doing the best they can. You'll enjoy the show. You'll notice their progress, no matter how small. And it will inspire you. And then you will continue to grow and learn. And before you know it, everything that held you back will have dissolved. And you'll have the life you always wanted. This, the equivalent, or something better. Till next time. Goodbye, beloved. Once again, this is Jennifer Hall with Lessons from the Universe. Thank you for joining me on this journey today. Until next time, namaste.